We'll have two passages today for Bible reading. The first one's from Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. Acts chapter 13. Now in the church of Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The second reading is from Acts chapter 16, verses 1 to 15. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day we went to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. This is the word of God.
Hey, good morning, church. Thank you for the reading. If you're new or visiting, my name is Joshua, and I'm one of the family here at Covenant. In the last sermon in a four-part series on titled "We Are Not Alone," and the theme, the title for today is "We Are Not Alone in Mission." We're never alone in mission. And starting with a story, one day when I was 19 years of age, I had not long left home. And God had given me the opportunity to go and study in East Asia. And I kind of lent that way through the heart for mission that God had given me. And I made a friend from a minority group. And he took me back to his village way out in the mountains, very difficult to get to. And I stayed with him and his extended family living in their hut. And one day, it was a day of worship for them. And so the whole family left to go into the mountains to find their ancestral graves and to do their ancestor worship rituals, leaving me at home alone with his grandma, this old lady. We couldn't talk. She couldn't speak the national language. We had no way to communicate. It's just me and her. And after everyone had left, I was just sitting quietly in the house, or in the courtyard, and she beckoned me with sign language and just called me to the back behind some of the gardening tools. And she opened up this kind of little box and she pulled out some figurines. It was a nativity set, a little Jesus and Mary, Joseph, a cross, and some other characters, and just started to act out some scene from the Bible. I didn't quite know what she was communicating. But at that moment, we connected in a very strange and deep way that this woman, I learned later, as a child, missionaries had visited her village. Her heart was opened by the Lord. She responded and she gave up ancestor worship. She gave up idolatry of the family. And as a sole believer in the village, she'd worshiped the Lord quietly on her own. And so at that moment, we had this very deep, wordless experience of fellowship and unity in the Lord. And even to today, it's kind of just stuck with me as a precious memory of what it means to be part of God's global body. And it kind of fits with a theme today about what it means to have fellowship and the joy of fellowship that we find in mission, a kind of depth, a breadth, a richness that can be hard to find in other parts of life, and as a gift from God. As we get started, let's just pray and ask God's help. Lord, we just thank you for this morning that we can gather as your people freely. Thank you for your word that you have kept for us by your Spirit through those people who were obedient to write it down and to even guard it with their very lives. We just pray as we come to you this morning. I believe that you are present to teach and to lead each one of us. So open our hearts to hear from you this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So first, I want to set some of the context and walk through the passage today. We started reading in Acts 13, which is where Paul's journeys as a missionary first began. Before getting into it, though, I want to set just a definition for mission, because mission is not actually a Bible word. It means a lot of things to a lot of people. So from today's passage, how I would define mission is a Spirit-initiated work of going and proclaiming Jesus to all people. So mission is not a program in the church. It's not a discipleship course. Mission is something that's started, initiated by the Spirit as he moves in God's people to be his witnesses. And as Jesus said, he tells us to go and make disciples. So mission activities happen in church, but mission doesn't happen without going. Jesus left the 99 to go and to find the one that was lost. So mission is God's initiating in us to go and to proclaim him to all peoples, all kinds of people. And so Paul starts in chapter 13. The Holy Spirit tells this group of leaders who have gathered to worship, set aside Paul and Barnabas, and he goes out with Paul, Barnabas, and other workers on a missionary journey where they preach the gospel to places who have never heard of Jesus before, sharing the good news amongst God's people, the Jews, and they're establishing new churches where there were none previously. In chapter 14, we have the record where he went to Lystra the first time. It was about the year 48 AD. Paul preaches, the Jews manage to persuade the people to go turn against Paul and Barnabas. They stone him, they believe to death, but he survives, he encourages the believers in Lystra, and he leaves behind a church as he moves on and proclaims the gospel elsewhere. Then there's different issues in the church. As he leaves, people start to go around teaching you it's not good enough just to trust Jesus, you have to get circumcised. And then, which is not helpful for the cause of the gospel. And then eventually, elders meet in chapter 15 in Jerusalem and issue a decree, a kind of letter, gets sent out to the churches to confirm, no, we are saved by grace through faith alone. You do not need to get circumcised. Put your hope in Jesus. And then Paul begins going out again, visiting the churches he's established to share this message and to encourage them in the Lord. And so we come to today's passage, chapter 16. He comes back to Lystra with this encouragement from the church in Jerusalem. And it's the church which he planted. As we've said, this is the year 50 AD now. So it's about 2 years later that he makes this second visit to, where are we? So we've got Lystra over here. So he's come, sent from Antioch, and he travels up and around, and he's in Lystra 2 years after his first visit. The church commends Timothy, and Timothy joins them, joins his apostolic band, and they continue preaching. So now it's Paul, Silas, Timothy, and maybe a few others accompanying them. And they travel around visiting more churches and encouraging them. And then God gives them they have the intention to go into Asia where there's no church yet, to preach the gospel and expand God's kingdom, but the Spirit doesn't let them. So Paul, Silas, Timothy head north, and they try to go into Bithynia, this province up into the north of the Roman Empire, But the Spirit of God doesn't let them go there. It's like the Spirit is constraining them, pushing them, stretching them. So they cut through the middle, they come down through these towns, and then the Spirit kind of forces them into Troas, this city on the coast. And at Troas, another member joins this mission team. Does anyone know who it is? He's not named. Nope. So if we look in the verse... verse 10, it says, after Paul had seen a vision in the night, he says, after Paul had seen this vision of a man in Macedonia calling out for help, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us. So all along, Luke, who's written the book of Acts, is saying they, and then in verse 14, he says we. So Luke is actually here in Troas. God has brought Paul, Silas, and Timothy all the way to Troas to pick up Luke, who then joins the team and is convicted that he, together with them, is called to go to Philippi to preach the gospel. And so Luke is in the band. And then in Philippi, they meet this woman. What's her name? I'm not very good with names. Lydia. Sorry. So they meet this woman, Lydia. And where is she from? She's from Thyatira. It's in the heart of Asia. So the place that God had put in their heart to go but wouldn't let them, the first person they meet is someone from Thyatira. She's a trader, which means she's often, frequently, she's going or sending people backwards and forwards into Asia, in and out, bringing purple cloth, garments, and supplies to sell in Philippi. So God has brought them around, picked up Luke, who would write the New Testament and record this for us, and then included and then brought to Christ this woman in Philippi who would be a bridge, though we don't hear the story, a bridge to the gospel in Thyatira. And Thyatira later on would become one of the famous seven churches of Asia, which is addressed in the book of Revelations. So we see the Holy Spirit working things, pushing them forward, advancing his mission, his way. And so that's just a bit of the context. You can see visually what's going on. Today we, as usual, have 3 points I want to draw out from this story on our theme. And so the first is that mission bonds us together in Christ. The second is that mission builds the church. And finally, that mission is an invitation. Disclosure, I did use generative AI to create one image. At no other point was it used in preparing today's sermon. So mission bonds us together in Christ. The bond that we have in Christ, we are already united, that when Christ died for us, the dividing wall of hostility between us and him and between each other was broken down so that we could have a unity in him with each other. And in I'll read to you part of his prayer, Jesus' prayers. He was going to the cross. In John chapter 17, he says, my prayer is not for them, the apostles alone. I pray also for all who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, just as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So there is this spiritual unity that we have just by being in Christ. He's given us this one spirit. But we don't always experience or realize the unity that he has given. And so mission is a place that gives expression and helps us to realize the unity of the Spirit in a very powerful way. You could think of it as, I don't know what your relationship is like with your siblings, but you can imagine we are all born into family. And if you have brothers and sisters, there's a relationship that you didn't choose, right? And maybe you're not that close. So imagine you have a brother and sister not that close, and they grow up, and finally in their teens, the parents decide we're going to go on a camping trip across Australia. And so a brother and sister, they go to separate classes, go to separate clubs, but now they're in one car, they're in one tent, and they're traveling together, having these formative experiences for a year, and suddenly this relationship of brother and sister, which they always had, is just taken to a new level. And it defines their relationship on for the rest of their life. Mission is this kind of space where God draws us together as his family and gives us an experience of fellowship and togetherness that is hard to find elsewhere. And if we look in the characters that we have today, first, Paul comes to Lystra and he picks up Timothy. Timothy was likely converted 2 years ago when Paul first preached the gospel, and he calls him very affectionately, Timothy, he refers to him as my son in the Lord. And Timothy would not just go on with him to go to Troas and Philippi. He would be Paul's lifelong partner in the gospel. Like father and son, he would follow him from city to city, and when they were separated, he would continue in contact via writing, continuing on as a partner with Paul in his work. And it was a bond that they shared for the rest of Paul's life and for Timothy's life. And again, Luke, as we mentioned, Luke was picked up in Troas and felt convicted to join the team. As a doctor, he would have followed and helped to heal, to wash Paul's wounds when he was beaten in Philippi in the passage after. Probably helped him to treat his eyes because it seems that he had an eye condition as well. But Luke and Paul also ended up as lifelong friends. In chapter 20, towards the end of Acts, Paul is coming back on one of his last journeys, and Luke joins him to go down to Jerusalem, where he faces trial and ends up in prison. And Luke follows him on boat to go to Rome to await trial under the emperor, where together with Paul he is shipwrecked and goes through all kinds of difficult circumstances. And Luke sticks with him while he's in house arrest in chains in Rome. Luke alone stays with him along the journey. And so mission, this space of mission where they walk together, creates this depth, this kind of fierce bond or welding together of these members of the body of Christ that is unlike any other relationship that they share and the kind of relationship that we can share with each other. It's not quite the same, this example, but I'm just thinking as I was writing this about the upcoming Easter event in the park on the 21st, that mission is also a space where churches often get together. I don't know if you've grown up in the church, maybe you've seen it as well, that the one space where all the different churches get together is usually for Christmas and Easter for the purpose of being a witness to the community and being on mission together in the city, wherever they are. It's something that actually draws together God's people in a unique way. Now, I say, if you're following the outline, the mission bonds us together in Christ. So it's not just a human relationship where we have a shared experience, where we step out of our comfort zone and we have this kind of formative experience that bonds us. That's true. And we have a human friendship which grows. But beyond that, we actually are bonded together in Christ. And so if you look at verse 9 and 10, it says that during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So we got ready at once, we together concluding that he had called us to preach the gospel to them. Here we have Paul. So Paul's the apostle. He was set apart by the resurrected Lord to go and preach the gospel. He's the leader of this team. As God gathers the people together, he's kind of at the middle, drawing the people together. And it's the Paul that has this vision in the night of this man in Macedonia. But it's not Paul that tells them the verdict. It's not Paul that tells them where to go or sets the agenda. He says that Luke writes that we concluded that God had called us to preach. So remember I said in my definition of mission is God initiated. That God was actually, as they gathered together and prayed, God was stirring in the hearts of each of the members of the team. That each one individually was called by God to go and do this work. And so when it comes to mission, why I say it bonds us together in Christ is that the Holy Spirit in each one of us has the same thought, the same feeling, the same intention, the same vision. And as he stirs up in each one of us, we are called together individually, but as one body, to engage in this work of mission. And so it's not coming down from a person. It's not coming down from a charismatic leader. It's actually coming from God stirring up inside us. And I don't, some of you will relate to this experience, that there's a kind of heart to heart, that as you can see God's work or God's heart, God's passion in another person, and you have the same feeling, the same thought, the same desire stirs up, that there's a sense of unity or a bond that comes. As we step out in obedience together, God draws us together and gives us this unity and this depth of fellowship that comes from his Spirit. And so mission bonds us together in Christ as we are each individually called and led out of him as a body. And so the implication for this as a church, I think if you maybe, I don't know how you feel about your relationships in church, maybe you feel it's healthy and it's friendly and it's good, but you would like more depth. You really want to have a greater sense of intimacy or a greater sense of purpose or a greater sense of meaning. That mission is a place where we can actually experience in a very rich way that kind of community that our heart longs for and which Christ died for. As he said, he prayed that we would be one, just as he's in the Father, that he would be in us and that we would be one, united in him. So if you are longing for that and you want that depth of friendship, fellowship in him, mission's a place to experience that. Our second point is that mission builds the church. This photo I've taken to represent, this is from Thailand in 2022. I think it's 2022. For many years, people were saying Thailand was hard soil and people are not responsive. In 2022, there seemed to be that all this work that God was doing under the surface came to the top. And on this day, there were about 2,300 people who had turned from Buddhism and ancestor worship, had turned to the Lord and come together for a mass baptism in this river in central Thailand. Mission builds the church. Looking at verse 5 here. As Paul and Barnabas Paul, Silas and Timothy traveled, delivering the message from Jerusalem to affirm them in the gospel, he says, so the churches were strengthened in faith and grew in numbers daily. They were strengthened in faith and grew in numbers. And so the result of mission is the church is built up and strengthened. One way that our faith is built through mission is the testimony of God's work and his goodness. So as we go out in mission, as we engage the world, we get to see God at work, bringing things together in his providence. We get to see lives transformed as people come from death into life. And an example of this we see in the passage already. Remember I shared how Luke joined the apostolic band in Troas? And I don't know, but at that time Luke joined in, he became an eyewitness to the work of God in the Roman Empire as the gospel went to places where it had never gone before. And as he traveled, he got to share the testimonies of the church. And it was through mission and his global travels that he was able to record for us the book of Luke and the book of Acts. And as we read Acts, why is it such a deep encouragement to God's body or through history? It's the story of God's work in mission as he sends his people out to advance his kingdom. And so as we read that, we share that story. And for us as well, as we step out in obedience, as a church, we write our own testimony as a body of his goodness and his works in the world. And so our faith is actually strengthened through our shared testimony that we write together. It also builds our faith, obviously, by stretching our capacity to trust God. Faith is our capacity, I would say, to trust God and his promises. And as we step out and exercise that trust in practical ways that are way out of our comfort zone, and we see him come through, that our faith actually grows just like a muscle that you work out. Maybe if Yeah, I won't go there. The second, it says he grows in faith, but he said also that the church grew daily in numbers. I've been a part of a number of churches over the years in Australia and overseas where they're actively engaged in mission and they're strong in prayer, and it's normal to see week by week, month by month, people are being called to Christ and added to their number. And it's a very exciting thing to see and to be part of. And that's a result that comes through mission as we actually step out. And I was just thinking, like reflecting and praying on what that looks like. You know, there are a number of people, as we go out and share the gospel, there are a number of people out there who are not yet in the sheepfold, not yet in the family of God, who, when they join us, will be some of our dearest and closest friends. They're the kind of people, there will be friends out there who will make brothers and sisters in Christ who might be there for us like Paul all the way until our last days. They might be close peers, friends or uncles and aunties to our children, co-workers in the gospel. I remember in high school that the Lord had put on my heart to reach out to a particular person. I was a new kid. I didn't know anyone at the time. And so I just walked up to someone and said hello. And I brought him to a youth group and got him a Bible, and he came to Christ. And we didn't actually share anything in common. He's a Hungarian. I was like Australian country kid. He was into video games. I loved the bush. But we both ended up bonded in Jesus. And till today, he's one of my best friends. He was the best man at my wedding. And just think how many people like that, friendships, brothers and sisters in Christ, are we about to meet as we step out in mission, who are going to become a very precious core part of our life, that God actually builds the church in numbers as we trust him and step out. And so an implication I want to bring out for this is that very often we can feel like mission is an extra activity, especially if we think of it as a program. We think maybe I'm not quite strong enough, or we're not quite strong enough to get involved in mission. We need to consolidate first. We just need to make sure we have enough, you know, that all of the ministry roles are filled, that people are more stable, that they're more settled in their faith and less disrupted with the troubles of life. It's kind of like having a baby. You're never ready for mission. You're never ready for a baby. It's something that if God gives you the chance, you just got to do it and never regret. Jesus said it to his disciples when in, I think it's John chapter 4, when they were traveling through Samaria. They were all focused on getting food and accommodation, and he was preaching the gospel to this lady at the well. And then when they came back, he said, you say 4 more months and then the harvest, but I say to you, lift up and look, the fields are ripe for the harvest now, today. And so that's Christ's call to us now, is to lift our eyes to the harvest, not to look at ourselves and our problems, but to trust him and look out. Because as we engage in mission, the strength that we want, the fellowship that we long for, the experience of God that the heart craves is found as we step out and obey him. In all areas of life, whether that's your holiness, your family, everywhere, and especially also including mission. So do you want to be strong? Do we want to be strong? Then it's to step out and trust him in mission, to let him lead us out and respond to his call that he puts on our life. Final point today is that mission is an invitation. Mission is an invitation. Can you click it for me? It's not working. Thank you. Going in an Easter parade as a child, as a youth, a young adult, I remember it would start in church and we usually do a parade that goes down the street, right? We start in church, we'd set up maybe a display of Easter, someone will be Jesus, there'll be a cross, a tomb, and it goes down the street, maybe there'll be a donkey. And at the start, it's just whoever's in the parade, like 15 people from church. And as we go down the street, people start to join, whether it's Christians from the churches or interested children, but gradually the parade builds up momentum until we get to the end and there's the actual Easter service, the outreach in the park. And it's really amazing thing to watch as it kind of builds to a crescendo. And here we're seeing in the passage, it starts out Paul and Silas, and then he gets to Lystra, and it's Paul and Silas and Timothy and the companions, and Paul and Silas and Timothy and the companions and Luke. And it just builds because mission is an invitation. It's not a one-man thing. It's a whole body of Christ thing that draws us together. And I've already put out the invitation for us to participate as a church, but it's an invitation also to the lost. In verse 14, we saw a piece of Lydia's story. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message, and when the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. Lydia was already a worshipper of the Lord. Maybe she had heard from some Jews in the city about this God who made the world, and she wanted him, she worshipped him and set aside a time to pray. But she didn't yet know and have that personal connection. She hadn't heard the name of Jesus and know what it means to have her sins totally forgiven and cleansed and have eternal hope in him without fear before God. She heard the message and her life was changed. And for us here today, coming to church regularly, even believing in God, even serving in church, doesn't necessarily mean that you are yet united to him. As it said in our catechism today, it's not, now I can't get it word for word, not all are saved in Christ, just as all were lost in Adam, but only those who are united to him. Can someone say it? No, not yet. But it's through our personal faith, trusting in Jesus' death for us and walking with him that we actually come and join and be part of his family. And so maybe you're here and you're serving, you kind of love the Lord, you love the community, but you haven't put all your chips on the table yet. You're still holding back. Maybe it's too much shame to face to bring all your sin before him. Maybe you want to hold a piece of your life for yourself, whether that's a sin, whether that's just your own ambitions or hopes or dreams. But Christ actually calls for all of us. And there's a time when we actually need to give him the keys and say, actually, yes, Lord, you did die for all my sins. Thank you. Here's the keys to my life. I want you in the driver's seat. I want you to take control and to give ourselves to him. As it says in 2 Corinthians 5:15, it says that Jesus died for all so that those who live might not live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. And so mission is an invitation to put all our chips on the table, to say yes, Lord, and to actually follow him with our whole heart by his help. And so as we come each week and as you hear the word, as it says here, that the Lord opened Lydia's heart to respond to Paul's message. Is God actually opening your heart and calling you now to make that move, to actually give him the keys and to say, yeah, I want to actually walk with you in earnest? Let's pray and we'll put this to the Lord. Yeah, Lord, we thank you so much for what you did, that you took all of our sin and our shame and you bore it on the cross on our behalf, so that there would be nothing to hold us back from you and from each other. Thank you for the unity, the fellowship, the family that you call us to be part of. Thank you for the privilege to be part of your global purposes in redeeming and saving and establishing your people for eternity. And I pray for each of us that, Lord, whatever you are calling us to do, I believe and I know that your spirit is in working here in each one of us in our own way, calling and leading us according to our station. And I just pray, help us to respond to you without fear. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.